You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hey everyone, this is Brent Carlson, aka Brent the Middleman, here on HoopBall with the NBA box score breakdown, which will be evolving into more of a Brent's breakdowns, or we'll break down something. So we'll see how it goes here on the first one as we get this thing rolling for the 2021-2022 basketball season. Just excited for like a regular season of basketball. My Warriors are locked and loaded. And ready to go, so we'll be talking about them quite a bit. But I wanted to start this first breakdown with something that's near and dear to a lot of our hearts, fantasy basketball. And I wanted to look at some of the rookies that are coming in this year. Always a tricky subject. I tend to avoid rookies in fantasy basketball, but there's some that you just can't pass up occasionally. They tend to go a little bit too high for my blood. But once in a while, like a LaMelo Ball or some of that sort can pay off towards the end of the season if you play it right. So why don't we take a look at this year's crop of rookies who I think could have an impact on fantasy basketball this season, and who might be better for dynasty formats or to look out down the road. I'm in a few dynasty leagues, so that is something that I like to do with fantasy basketball. So hopefully some of these listeners and some of you guys are in those leagues too. They're super fun. So obviously we got to start with the number one pick in the draft, and who's kind of in a tier all on his own, Cade Cunningham from the Detroit Pistons. We couldn't have had a better player going to a better location. He's definitely the rookie of the year favorite coming into this season, and he's definitely fantasy's top rookie to target. Whether he finishes in that spot, we'll see. You know, a lot of it comes down to injury and opportunity, but he could be the primary ball handler on a roster that really needs a number one option. He's going to have tons of opportunity to produce, and he's a very well-rounded basketball player. If he can keep, especially if he can keep his three-point shooting up, he shot 40% in college, and he could average around 2 to 3 steals a game, which is pretty crazy, and blocks. He also gets blocks from the guard position. So, you know, there's a lot of hype coming in, so he may go a little bit higher than you're comfortable or that I'm comfortable drafting a rookie, but he's definitely exciting to watch. He's going to have rough periods. He could have a high turnover rate, which is a big deal with rookies. So if you're in a league with turnovers, that's something you're going to want to keep an eye on. But his floor is definitely the highest of any rookie in this class. He kind of showed some mixed results in summer league, but he definitely showed diverse production. He averaged about 27 minutes a game in summer league. He had averaged 18.7 points, 5.7 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.7 steals, and 1.3 blocks, while going 13 of 26 from three-point range. That is pretty incredible. Next up, Jalen Green on the Rockets. I got him in a dynasty draft from the 3 spot. I was super psyched because I think he's going to be able to produce right away, and a lot of people think that he can end up being the best player from this draft. He's not quite as well-rounded as Cunningham, but I would say, you know, he's not too far behind either. He's definitely a scorer. He's probably going to lead all rookies in points per game, especially on this Rockets team. He averaged 20 points per game in 3 summer league appearances in just 24 minutes. And coming from the G League, he was on the G League Ignite. His numbers imply that he's going to have a high 3-point attempt rate. So hopefully he can knock those down at a good clip. It should lead to probably a pedestrian field goal percentage, but not enough probably to hurt you. But field goal percentage and turnovers, like I said, when you're drafting rookies, you just got to play for that. So if you're in a punt, you know, turnovers, which most of my teams are punt turnovers, to be honest, or punt field goal percentage, or, you know, pair him with some high field goal percentage guys, he could be a nice steal later on. But once again, these guys are super hyped and may go a little bit too high. He also averaged 4 rebounds, 2.8 assists, and 1.5 steals in 15 G League games in 32 minutes a game. So those are some pretty nice, well-rounded numbers, and steals are hard to come by. So even though points are kind of going to be his calling card, he still offers some of that defensive production, which really helps with a fantasy guy. The biggest question for Green is, you know, where is he going to fall in the hierarchy on this Rockets team? He's going to follow Christian Wood, who could make the step to All-Star this year if he stays healthy. I mean, what a turnaround story he is. You got John Wall still, who's a former All-Star. And then you got Kevin Porter, who's a high-volume guy and could be had the biggest impact on Green. Although Houston is going to be really motivated to get Green, playing time and get him developed, but they got a lot of mouths to feed on that Rockets team. So we'll see. But I have high hopes for Green. But like I said, his draft number is probably going to be a little higher than I'm comfortable with. The next guy I want to talk about is a guy who went number 2 in a lot of dynasty drafts, and that's Evan Mobley of the Cavaliers. I mean, this guy's skill set is everything you want in a fantasy player. He's got a little bit of a tough situation in Cleveland. He's behind Kevin Love and Jared Allen, but there's a really good chance that Kevin Love won't be there, and we could see a lot of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the floor together. So that could get Mobley some playing time, and I think Cleveland will probably keep Jared Allen around. I mean, he's a really strong young center, and I think if those two can learn to play together somehow, especially with Mobley's potential outside game, that could be a really tough twosome to contend with for years to come. But obviously Mobley is going to take precedent over Allen because, you know, he's their guy of the future. So I don't know. I see, no matter what even happens with Love, it's tough to see Mobley not starting opening night, but we'll see what happens in camp. You got Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. They're still going to be the top scoring options, and Sexton obviously is a gunner. So they're going to take a little bit of the scoring production away from Mobley, but I think Mobley could end up being the number 3 scorer ahead of Jared Allen, ahead of Kevin Love, because he can hit face-up jumpers, he can take bigs off the dribble. He's not going to create his own shot necessarily like Cunningham or Green, but Mobley is definitely going to be a top fantasy rookie because his shot blocking is going to be, could be incredible. He averaged almost 3 blocks per game at USC, like 2.9. The next guy I want to talk about is kind of a wild card and maybe known more for his defense, but that's Scottie Barnes on the Raptors. It was kind of a shock on draft night when Toronto took Barnes over Suggs, the other Jaylen in the draft. But if you look at Toronto's team, it makes a lot of sense. They got probably the most versatile defensive player in the draft, which we've seen in the modern NBA, how crucial that is. Andrew Wiggins turned his career around on the Warriors, showing that he can guard across the floor. Draymond Green, obviously, super versatile defender. If you got a player like that in Barnes, I mean, watch out, because Toronto already has a lot of talent there. His offense should catch up, but he's probably going to be a pretty inconsistent scorer as a rookie. So he's more of a dynasty guy at this point, I would say. He's going to be tough to rely on for offense, which, you know, is mostly what you need to get out of someone in fantasy. I mean, it's great to have, you know, guys who can block and steal, but if they don't contribute offensively, it's hard to keep them on the floor, especially if they're shooting a low field goal percentage. He's only a 62% free throw shooter from college at Florida State, and he only shot 27% from 3, so there's field goal percentage issues. He did average 4 assists a game, but the 2 blocks and steals per game is pretty awesome. Kind of a Matisse-Thybulle situation going on here. So it may take a couple years for him to reach fantasy relevance, as I think Thybulle's the type of guy who could break out this season. So Barnes might be on that kind of trajectory. So he's definitely more of a dynasty guy. The other guy I want to talk about, who I mentioned earlier, Jalen Suggs. It seems like, you know, the Magic would have been happy with Barnes, but I think they were thrilled that Suggs dropped to them at number five. I mean, this guy was, you know, crucial in leading Gonzaga to the national title game. He averaged 14 points, 5 boards, 4.5 assists, 1.9 steals. He also shot 50% from the floor, 34% from three, and 75% from the free throw line. I mean, this guy is ready to go in the NBA. And if you got him in dynasty leagues, you should be super happy. I had the 3 and 5 pick, and I was really hoping to get Jalen, but he went 4 in a lot of them. And Scotty Barnes dropped below 5 in a lot, if that tells you anything. So I'd put Suggs probably above Barnes as far as this season. He's also going to be in Orlando, where he's going to have a lot of opportunities. He has a good-looking jump shot, even though the percentages aren't super great. But other than Cunningham, I think Suggs projects as the most well-rounded fantasy player when it comes to across-the-board production, especially if that high steal rate translates to the NBA, because steals, you know, are super valuable and tough to find in fantasy. I mean, you look at like a Melton and you know, Thybulle these guys, they get tons of value strictly because of their steals. He's also going on a Magic roster that really needs a guy with star potential. Cole Anthony looked pretty good in his rookie year and should take a step forward. Markel Fultz has been looking better, but he's coming off an ACL tear. So it looks like Suggs is like the top asset on a team loaded with cast-offs and 3-and-D wings. So it should be interesting to see how it settles in. Jonathan Isaac should be back at some point, but I don't see anyone really challenging Suggs for scoring supremacy on that team. So I could see him, averaging anywhere between 15 and 20 a game. He could average 5 boards, 3 or 4 assists, and a couple of steals, which is huge. So keep an eye on Jalen Suggs. Another guy who's getting a lot of hype in fantasy circles and in Dynasty is Josh Giddey on the Thunder. I mean, here's a guy who's like a Lonzo Ball type, low scoring, not a great shooter, but, you know, a big guard, like 6'9", 6'10 guard. And he's only 18 years old, coming out of the Australian leagues. It might take him a little bit to get going. Guys like this, these young guys, tend to take a little while to get going, but averaging 10 points, 7.4 rebounds, 7.4 assists, and 1.1 steals in the Australian League as an 18-year-old is crazy. Yes, he's got Shai Gilgeous there in Oklahoma, but, you know, they're going to be able to get him a lot of touches, and they're going to definitely want to see what they got, because the Thunder are not planning on being good anytime soon. But I love the way that they're going and rebuilding. It's got to be fun for Thunder fans. He's not a great shooter. 29% from three, 69% from free throw. So that's a little bit scary. And he's going to have a hard time defending bigger guys and getting around screens, because he's kind of a skinny, thin guy who needs to put on muscle. And it's probably, could get injured. I don't want to ever think injury for anybody, but it seems like a guy who's going to have to put on weight and develop before he can really make an impact. Think like Jonathan Isaac type. So that's going to take, but we could see, you know, if Thunder somehow, you know, it looks like they'll probably end up tanking towards the second half of the season. We could see Giddey get more and more time. Now, another guy on my team, the Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga, who really got a lot of attention here in Summer League with some sick dunks and crazy athleticism. And a lot of people thought this guy has one of the highest ceilings out of this draft. Early in the draft process, some people thought he was even a number one potential pick. So he did drop a lot, though, as an 18-year-old. And you can't argue with Cunningham and Green and these guys who went up top. I mean, they're incredible talents. But for a team like the Warriors, they couldn't have asked for a better guy like Kuminga to have come in. Super athletic, 6'6", 210 pounds. He looks the part of like an elite NBA wing. And that's exactly what the Warriors needed, especially with Klay Thompson's, you know, uncertain future, and Andrew Wiggins, you know, is what we saw last year for real. I mean, having a guy like Kuminga is crazy. You know, his shooting isn't great. 39%, 25% from three, 63% from the line. A little scary, but this guy isn't necessarily coming in to be a shooter. He's coming in to be a defender and an athletic guy who can get to the rim. He still got to 16 points a game, even with the inefficient shooting, and had 7.2 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 1.9 steals and 1.9 blocks. That's some crazy defense, and the rebounding is exactly what the Warriors need. He is going to be a boom or bust guy, so a lot of people are going to be watching it, but I don't think he could have ended up in a better spot than with that Warriors staff, with the veteran players they have. I mean, look at some of the guys who they've developed out of nowhere to be good. Damian Lee, Kent Bazemore blossomed on the Warriors. I mean, these are guys nobody really thought of as anything great, and they turned into, you know, legit rotation players in the NBA. So he's going to have some highlights with the Warriors, but he's not going to play a ton. So for fantasy purposes, I'd probably avoid him, but for dynasty, definitely someone who'd be exciting to have on your team. But Otto Porter isn't the healthiest guy in the world, and Draymond Green tends to get hurt, and Klay Thompson probably won't play till Christmas. So Kuminga could get plenty of opportunities to play. Just a couple more guys I want to cover here in the last couple minutes. Franz Wagner from the Magic. This guy, Mo Wagner's little brother, so I guess it's Franz Wagner. He's a unique guy from this class. He's tall, he's got the intangibles that moved him into the top 10. He's averaged a well-rounded 12.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.3 steals, and 1 block as a sophomore at Michigan. He's not a traditional playmaker, but his passing is pretty above average for his age and his size. He could be an elite defender. His brother never really profiled that way. He was more of a stretch four, but Franz definitely has a better lateral movement. And shown that he can shadow big men and he could stick with guards at the rim. How valuable is that in today's NBA? A guy who can guard big guys and small guys, that's awesome. He's going to have way more competition for minutes, though. That's why I didn't have him higher on the list. He does have his brother on the team with him. He probably should battle his brother for minutes, actually. So it'll be interesting to see who wins out there. I think Franz has more potential, but obviously Mo's been around longer, and the Magic, you know, if they're not tanking right away and they're looking to compete, might go with the veteran guys a little bit early. Wagner wasn't really that impressive in the summer league, though. However, he only averaged 8 points. He was 2 of 13 from three, 3.8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1.3 steals, and 0.3 blocks in just 21 minutes. The steals are nice to see. The shooting's a little concerning, but he's a young guy. He's gonna grow. He's on a great team. He's gonna get a lot of time, and he's got his brother there with him. So, you know, I really like that kid's future, but not this year. Not on my fantasy team this year. No way. Davion Mitchell on the Kings. There's a lot to like about this kid for sure. And Sacramento definitely got a good one, but it's a tough landing spot for him. You know, he's a guard and they already have De'Aaron Fox, Therese Halliburton, and they still have Buddy Hield somehow. We thought he would be gone, but he's still there for now. So he's definitely looking like a backup. But DeLon Wright getting dealt away to Atlanta is going to help Mitchell at least get a little bit of time in the rotation probably. James Bouknight on the Hornets. He's not in, didn't fall, like, you know, like Mitchell, he's not in a great situation fantasy wise. And even in a ideal situation, Bouknight really projects more of a better real life player than a fantasy player. He's a score first guard, but he's not very efficient, which kind of sucks for a guy who's score first. You'd at least like to see some efficiency. So it kind of sounds a lot like the old guard that they traded to the Lakers, they lost to the Lakers, Malik Monk, a score first guy, not very efficient. We all know how Monk did in fantasy circles. He's also behind Terry Rozier, LaMelo Ball, and Gordon Hayward, and it doesn't look like any of them are going anywhere anytime soon for the Hornets. So as long as those guys are healthy, he's probably not going to play too much. But the guy who left, Malik Monk, his leaving for the Lakers could help open up a little bit of time for Bouknight. Just two more guys that I want to talk about here. Well, let's make it three. Why not? So I want to talk about Chris Duarte on the Pacers. He's a 24-year-old who got drafted in the lottery. So whenever a team takes that type of guy, they're thinking he's going to contribute right away. He averaged 17 points, 53% shooting, 42% from three at Oregon. And that's, you know, those are numbers that you could use on any team. Indiana's roster could look a lot different by October, but right now he's going to back up Malcolm Brogdon and Caris LeVert. Indiana could be one of those teams looking to make moves, but we'll see. If they get off to a hot start, they may try to keep the roster together. Not sure what's going to happen, but I think Duarte is going to slot right in. He's going to take over time from Justin Holiday, who I think is still in Indiana. And I think, you know, he could add some scoring, some steals. In Vegas, he was awesome. He had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 2.5 steals, and 1.8 blocks while shooting 48% from three. I mean, I know Vegas and Summer League, you don't want to put too much stock into that, but those numbers jump off the page. So Chris Duarte, a guy to keep an eye on, maybe like late round flyer, maybe someone off the free agent wire potentially, you know, that you want to keep an eye on for early on in the season if the Pacers make some moves or have some injuries. Definitely in Dynasty. Two more guys I want to touch on. One is Moses Moody, just because he's on the Warriors and that's my team and this is my show, so I can talk about whatever I want. The Warriors went for two high upside wings. And he has about the same outlook as Kuminga. They're going to get minutes off the bench. They're going to have to beat out Jordan Poole and Damian Lee, who Steve Kerr really trusts, so that could be a little bit difficult. But as far as like pure athleticism and ceiling, they're definitely better than Poole and Lee. But the Warriors are going to be looking to be a solid playoff team, and they're going to want to have veterans around. But they're definitely going to want to develop Moody and Kuminga. So I think he's more of a long-term fantasy guy for Dynasty, but someone to keep an eye on if, you know, the Warriors have injuries and decide to try to, you know, get the young guys some time. Or if, you know, Poole or Lee struggle, Moody gets hot, you know, the Warriors are going to be quick to put in the best players. And you know, Steph Curry and Draymond, they're going to want the best players on the floor. And Moody and Kuminga could definitely turn out to be better than Poole and Lee. Finally, a guy who is a big name in Dynasty circles and a guy who went fifth in a lot of Dynasty drafts, someone I took, Alperen Sengun on the Rockets. He may be a year or two away from actually being a fantasy stud, but, you know, Christian Wood has shown to be pretty injury prone, and they lost Kelly Olynyk to Detroit. So there could be, I could predict Sengun and Wood playing side by side. I could see Sengun maybe getting 20-25 minutes a game, which could be pretty incredible because in college he averaged a double-double in summer league he averaged a double-double with 3 blocks and 1.3 steals in summer league. He didn't go to college. So this guy can play. Think of a like Domantas Sabonis, but with defense. You know, even though, but you know, he can also pass off the block. He's got a good mid-range shot. He's not, you know, a Jokic. He's not shooting from the outside, but he could be a stud inside. So he could be more of an Enes Kanter type if Enes Kanter could play defense and pass the ball. although there have been some knocks on Sengun's interior D, but I don't know. I think he's got the size and the skill. And whenever I see a big man that can pass, I mean, it makes me feel like, you know, he has a good head for the game. So I think that defense could develop as he gets older. So keep an eye on Sengun and the Rockets. I mean, they have some great young talent. So we're at the 20-minute mark. I think that's pretty good for podcast number one. Keep an eye out for more podcasts coming. I'm going to try to do a bunch of these every week. Keep them rolling out on HoopBall. Check out hoop-ball.com. Find me on Twitter at Brent Middleman. I don't post as much as I'd like. But I'll start through the NBA season. I'll be on there so you can ask for, you know, fantasy tips or anything like that. And I'll do my best to get to all those questions. But I hope you keep listening. Send HoopBall a note. Let us know. Hit me up on Twitter if you heard the show. And let me know, who do you think is going to be the top rookie this year? Are you going to draft a rookie in summer league and take that chance? I probably won't, but who knows? If a guy pops up, You know, I might take him if he drops, or keep an eye out for these guys on the free agent wire if those injuries pop up. You got to be quick on those. So once again, Brent Carlson, a.k.a. Brent the Middleman, here on Hoop Ball with Brent's Breakdowns. We'll see you again soon.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.